By definition, ambassadors are representatives of their sovereign and their nation. We have the privilege to discuss and represent our sovereign, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom for his glory. Join us as we seek him first. Welcome to Ambassador Talks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ambassador Talks. Ambassador Talks exists to glorify God by the pursuing of truth in God's Word and applying it to the issues and challenges that are facing the church today. Ambassador Talks is brought to you by Ambassador Baptist Church of Hudson, North Carolina. For more information about the church, visit ambassadorbaptistchurch.org. I'm your host, Matt Baker, and on the mics today with me, as always, is Nathan Phillips to my left, and across the table from me is our pastor, Robert Setzer. Now, last week was the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention in Phoenix, Arizona, and what we're seeing in the news coming down through the pipeline is a historic vote on their end to condemn publicly the alt-white movement. And some of you may be scratching your head and say, what are you talking about? What is this? And it's a new term of sorts, Nathan. It hasn't been in existence very long. Actually, it just added to Webster's Dictionary this year. And so we're going to talk about that tonight, what that means, what that term entails, who that is, who that would be considered, and what was the purpose of the vote at the convention, and what does that mean for us. So as we dive into this, let's take a look at what happened this week. And I'll start, guys, and I want to read this resolution that was put forth here at the convention. The language of the resolution, this comes from the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission's website, erlc.com. The language of the resolution reads in part, "Whereas racism and white supremacy are sadly not extinct, but present all over the world in various white supremacist movements, sometimes known as the white nationalism or alt-right. Now therefore, be it resolved that the messengers to the Southern Baptist Convention meeting in Phoenix, Arizona, decry every form of racism, including alt-right white supremacy, as antithetical to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and be it further resolved that we denounce and repudiate white supremacy and every form of racial and ethnic hatred as of the devil. Be it further resolved that we acknowledge that we still must make progress in rooting out any remaining forms of intentional or unintentional racism in our midst. And be it further resolved that we earnestly pray both for those who advocate racist ideologies and those who are thereby deceived, that they may see their error through the light of the gospel, repent of these hatreds, and come to know the peace and love of Christ through redeemed fellowship in the kingdom of God, which is established for every nation, tribe, people, and language."
Right, Matt. This is a big deal. It's been a large story in the news. If you're looking for religious type news and things like that, it comes on the heels of a nomination, a voting in of H.B. Charles into the Southern Baptist Convention for a position there. So there's some moving pieces here, and if people aren't familiar, just we're going to explain some more and just Google it for yourselves and go out there and see for yourselves. But Matt, what we were talking about and what this why this topic was brought up to us and caught our attention is mainly because why did they feel that they had to vote on this? Right. I think that was one of your first questions to me as we were discussing it. So a lot of people don't know what this alt-right movement is. And if they have heard it, Pastor, they've probably heard it in the terms of Trump or something like that. So
yeah, basically, I don't think it has anything really to do with President Trump.
No.
And as you study about it, depending upon who you read after, it is a rather broad group.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think that you can limit it solely to white supremacists, though they are certainly a part of that. And before I go any further with that, let me simply say I have no problem with what the convention did. It doesn't bother me whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I have no problem. They probably sure needed to do that. But I do think that people need to be informed about what alt-right is. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look back at this whole concept, you know, you had you have conservatives, and then under Bush you had neoconservatives, and then there's social conservatives, and there's economic conservatives, and I mean you get all kind of these types of things here. So now you have a group that is the alt or alternate right, which would be by some characterized as extreme right. But I'm telling you what, if there is an alt right group, I guarantee you there is an alt-left group that nobody really wants to talk about.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, and we're not talking about just politics here. We're talking about how it pertains to Christianity. And as we'll talk later, I mean, some of these people identify as Christians that are in this alt-right movement. And I think it all started, at least as far as the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission pins down, and from other stuff that I think Breitbart and things like that kind of narrow it down to, is Paul Gottfried wrote an article in 2008 in Talks Magazine called The Decline and the Rise of the Alternate Right. And I don't think originally that was the title, Pastor. I think it was added in later. But Richard Spencer is a name you should probably know. Right. You may not know him, but you should know and keep up with him, because he is kind of the champion of this kind of anonymous type movement. A lot of people don't want to be known as alt-right, because it is kind of hateful. I mean, let's just call it what it is. And I guess, you know, some of it for me is I wasn't familiar with what they believed. I was like, what is this rightness of this part? I guess you can call it a party, but what makes up an alt-right person? What belief system, what morals, what, you know, all of this stuff. And some of it seems like they're just attacking the right sometimes, and you just need to, I think, look past that. They're not attacking conservatism, liberal media and things like that. They're attacking this pretty racist supremacist movement here.
Right, and I think part of this is brought on, especially over the past 10, 12, 15 years, by the way our nation has handled or has not handled some serious issues and serious problems. Mm. Case in point, for example, right now, you have those who feel as though they can right past wrongs by destroying history. Mm-hmm. We'll just go to certain parts of the country and we'll just tear monuments down and get rid of them, mm-hmm. and that will solve it. That really solves nothing. If anything, it exasperates and makes the problem even worse. Mm. And I think you commented on that the other evening, Nathan. Why not take this as a teachable moment and express, for example, you know, short givings of the South or of the North, if it's the Civil War problems. How did we treat the Indians, specifically the Cherokee, etc.?
Right.
Make it a teachable moment rather than just saying, let's obliterate the monuments.
Yeah, and
try to erase it.
Yeah.
And where I don't want to line up with them is I don't want to be on the side of, like, you know, keeping things that are inappropriate and things like that. But, you know, as far as history goes, and the comments I was making to you, I mean, you look at Europe and you look at a lot of other countries, and there's a lot of history there, good and bad. I mean, we're a relatively young nation. I don't think we need to be destroying all of our history and all the things like that. But, you know, I definitely don't think anything needs to be breeding grounds for, you know, supremacy and racism either.
Well, I like what you said. We are not here tonight to defend the alt-right movement.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely not.
You mentioned Europe, Nathan. And certainly I couldn't say that I would be a supporter of Napoleon. But neither do I think that you need to go in and eradicate the history around this man. He is a historical figure.
Mm-hmm. Okay? As I scroll on through the website, Nathan and Pastor of the ERLC right here, I see this headline question: why does the alt-right hate conservative Christians?
Mm-hmm.
And this may be the link here that sets us apart. They say, as many conservative Christians on social media can attest, the alt-right seems to have a particular disdain for gospel-centered Christianity. And they give some links to here, and so you can click here and see. And some on the alt-right, such as, and he gives a name, the Vox Dei, claim that Christianity is a foundational pillar for the movement. But what they mean by Christianity is often a heretical form, in that Dei rejects the Trinity, a radicalized version of the faith, or religion as culture, and which Richard Spencer says he is both an atheist and a culture Christian. The true religion of the alt-right, as Moore would proclaim, is white identitarianism, which is why the SBC accurately considers it an anti-gospel movement.
Well, there's a host of problems within all of that.
Exactly.
First and foremost, if you don't have a proper view of the Trinity, Pastor, we have major issues.
And as we said before, we are not defending alt-right movement.
Right.
Matter of fact, they're kind of all over the place, man.
Yeah, they are.
It's not, you can't, that's why I'm saying it is not just a white supremacist group. And even to address that right there, you know, I detest that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I do.
Exactly.
And you discuss anything you want to say, well, how do you feel about interracial dating? I said, okay, as long as both parties are Christians.
Right.
Exactly.
As long as they both know Jesus, I don't have a problem with it. If you know Christ, if you're not unequally yoked together.
There is no room for racism in the gospel whatsoever.
Yeah,
we were all dead men. We were all, you know, spiritually lost, and I don't see any room for it whatsoever. In fact, the Bible decries it a numerous amount of times as we can bring up numerous examples. Jonah not wanting to go to the Ninevites. The Samaritans and the Jews and the Gentiles. I mean, all of this stuff, and we talk, and we get to Peter, and, you know, God, Christ says, don't you call unclean what I've called clean. And, you know, and that's in reference to food in that dream that Peter had, but it was also, the larger scope was the Gentiles.
You know, Nathan, we've had this discussion before about racism, and I detest it, and there's no place for that. The family of God. I do think our country has tried to address this in as far as a secular state can do that with the civil rights movement, etc. I think some progress has been made, but I don't think our problem right now is the Civil War. I really don't. You know, we do have problems in America, but it's more than just a racial problem. We have some pretty major We have some moral problems.
Well, I think the heart of the matter goes to what Spencer believes himself, and he says he's an atheist, but a cultural Christian. What is that?
As I said, all over the place. That means nothing.
That sounds pretty convenient to me. Oh, I don't believe in God, but I want to benefit from all the morals and all of the laws and the things that set society up in a better way. I want to benefit from all of that, and I want to call myself conservative, and so I'll slip in the crowd with all of these Christian folk, quote unquote, it's dangerous spiritually to be on, but it's also dangerous morally and politically as well, as we,
you know, I actually think he is just basically trying to ride a populist wagon as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. and that word populist is mentioned many, many times in this article. So what we're looking at with this vote, gentlemen, is a move of separation away from anything that would be considered alternate right, and a move towards a gospel-centered Christianity.
Well, and that's the thing that I didn't, when this issue first came up and this vote came up, that was the thing that I didn't really understand, was why they needed to make this. I mean, shouldn't this kind of be common sense that the Bible's against racism and supremacy of any type of race? But I think as you research it and you learn more about this movement, whatever you want to call it, you understand that there are some Christians who would call themselves alt-right. And it's
they may not call themselves that.
Yeah.
Well,
but in their actions and in their thoughts and the way they treat people.
Well, when I was researching, there was a guy that claimed to be a fervent Christian, and still was saying that some of the people in the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission needed to be hung with a rope. There
may be some ignorant Christians,
right,
that claim to be that. But,
yeah,
I think you just answered for him when you said that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a ludicrous statement there.
Yeah, and I mean, but that's the type of attitude you'll find when you start, you know, looking at this and start researching that there are some people who will claim Christianity and say that they are, you know, consistent and a fervent Christian, but yet hold these beliefs. And I think that might be why the, as I didn't understand it at first, that might be why the SBC said, hey, we might need to address this because this is going on in some churches.
Here's something else that I just thought of. The SBC convention happens very early in the summertime each year. A lot of these things that we saw happen last year with the police shootings and things like that happened after this convention adjourned. And so maybe this was the only time since then where they could adequately convene and vote on this and have a platform.
And you know, Matt, as we have said, we support the decision that was
yes,
made
sir.
You know, by the convention. We support that. But with that being said, it's going to take more. In resolving our issues and problems, it's going to take more than simply passing resolutions.
Right.
That really makes a nice little banner to hang on the front of the building, you know? But we're going to have to get down and love our brothers. Both sides.
Yes, sir.
We do.
Absolutely.
And start looking and say, what are the issues? How can we address them? And I'm talking about within, you know, the church community. Because you get outside of the church community, there's another whole set of issues out there. But the church wants to love each other. Mm-hmm. Red, yellow, black, and white, it makes no difference. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we need to actually, why can't we just stop seeing the whole color thing, Nathan? What's the deal?
I don't know. I guess it's going to be with us till Christ comes back. But it's one of those things that's definitely a hindrance to the church. If you're focusing on one people group or anything like that in regards to race, then you're messing up greatly. You're not only are you damaging the church in the way that diversity can bring a lot of good.
Amen.
I mean, you're damaging your own brain and own mind. I think too. Why I think the SBC probably did it, it's probably a proactive thing. You know, you see a lot of people trying to get a proactive jump on things, and I think that's probably, you know, as this movement gains ground, and it's not very old, like we said, it's just 2010, 2008, I mean, the original article, 2010, and it seems to be gaining ground every day. You hear it addressed all the time on social media and on the news as well. So maybe it was just a proactive kind of thing for them, and that if some church got wrapped up in it and they were a Southern Baptist church, then they would have a statement of faith saying, "Hey, listen, this isn't us. This is coming from them individually. This isn't part of what the Southern Baptist Convention believes."
If I can take this a step even deeper, our church is not part of the Southern Baptist Convention, so we don't get together and vote on these things per se. So what measures do we take, Nathan, to rid ourselves of these issues on a practical level, like street level, you know?
Right. And I mean, and even though we're not part of the convention, we have very, you know, similar beliefs on a lot of things.
Sure.
We're both Baptist, of course.
Yeah.
I think, you know, as that goes, in the independent sphere, I think we have to do what we're doing now and say, "Hey, we approve of this statement. We
right.
we decry the movement of alt-right, and there has no place in the kingdom for that." So even though we're not part of that, we can still say publicly that, you know, and let people know that that's not Christ, and that's definitely not His kingdom.
And let's remember, the world is not going to look at our platform statement; they're going to look at our actions.
Always, and every time, Matt, you're absolutely direct on right there. And people, that's what they believe. It's how you do, how you act, how you speak, how you conduct yourself.
And sometimes even it takes getting out there and almost tearing down the wall of what you are seen as on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people could say, well, this church, they don't have any members of different, you know, ethnicities in their church, not to say that they haven't tried.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I mean, let's be honest here. We're in the South. We're in the, I guess deep South. We're kind of in the middle South here. We're in the western part of North Carolina, and you guys know as well as I know that there's still a lot of racist comments and things like that made on a daily basis. There's things like that, that we hear, and I don't think that's a Southern thing. I think that's pretty much everywhere. But the fact of the matter is that we still do have a long way to go as far as relationships and understanding of people. So, I mean, we have to admit failures, but we have to, I think, go along with the convention and say there's just no place for this in Christianity, and we'll not tolerate any type of attitude like this in the church.
And you know what? Going along with what you said right there, we're just one. We're an individual.
Mm-hmm.
We're a person. And as a person, we must adamantly make our stand for Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And just say we will not condone that kind of, you know, we don't want to hear any junk talk, you know, against other people groups, you know. And so I think you have to do the right thing.
I just
have to stand for the right thing.
Pastor, I just can't get it. Like, I don't understand how you can claim Christianity and then claim this. I mean, there is no intolerance in Jesus' ministry. There is no in the disciples' ministry. There is no, I mean, they're going out to other countries. They're reaching out to other people groups. There was none of this, hey, the Jews are better than everybody else and see it our way. Or, I mean, the word white wasn't around then. You know, I don't understand how you can claim, you know, Christianity and then still be a part of this movement. It's just boggling to me.
The world has become a lot more complex in her problems.
Mm.
And you know, we are not opposed to migration. We are not opposed to immigrants. But there has to be balance. You know, there has to be equity. There has to be a right way to conduct things. And I believe that's what, you know, some of the, I'm not saying alt-right, I'm just saying that's what some of the, I think, conflict has been in the nation is maybe we've not, and I'm not talking about even one party, I'm not about the nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's rather complex, and we all need to tone the rhetoric down and talk about the true issues.
Mm.
Amen. And I'm glad, Nathan, that you brought up the story of the Samaritan woman, because it's interesting. Jesus gets right in the middle of that, quote-unquote, that racial divide.
Said he must go through it.
Right.
Right.
He knew exactly what he was doing. And he had a distinct purpose for being there. And we can take that cue from Christ.
He told all of these parables and all of these stories and things to the people within Jerusalem and the surrounding cities, and he goes to Samaria and he tells that woman, "I am he. You're looking at him.
Amen.
You're looking
at
the
he
prophet."
He never did address her ethnicity.
No.
You know, he spoke about, she brought it up on the religious
right.
question, and he
mm-hmm.
answered it,
yep.
you know. And then he dealt with a heart problem
mm-hmm.
that was keeping her from truly, you know, trusting Christ. He dealt
mm-hmm.
with that sin issue. Outside of that, he never talked about a racial /
good point.
Ethnic issue.
That's right. We're going to have to teach ourselves and redirect ourselves to look at this view the way that Jesus looked at it.
Amen.
So as you consider yourself a conservative, think long and hard about this movement and what distinguishes those two things. We can say, I think, with hearty amens, we're conservative in the sense of abortion, you know, gay marriage, moral issues that we stand against. But even though we might share some similar things with these people, we have to draw a distinction and say we are nowhere near close to to what they believe and live out on a daily basis.
That's right. Well, gentlemen, thank you for this timely discussion. It's a very important issue that was brought up. And again, we will say for the fourth or fifth time during this episode, we stand with the Southern Baptist Convention on this issue. And we decry any form of racism whatsoever. And there simply is no room in the gospel or in God's word or in his church for that. Thank you for listening to Ambassador Talks. If you have a question, maybe you have a comment about what we've been talking about, email us at ambassadortalks@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. You'll see weekly updates on our episodes from there. And you can also view past episodes and updates on there. And you can also subscribe on iTunes and get each episode as it's uploaded weekly. Thank you for listening.